Hey friends, we're Pastors Jason and Tiffany Shirley, and we want to thank you for checking out our podcast. Today, we're in a series talking about our core values here at Word of Life.
It's our prayer today that you open your heart and hear what God has to say to you. Let's go to the message.
Why don't you lift one hand with me and say this. Say, Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is spirit and life to me. Heart. That your word, sown in good ground, produces good fruit. Father, I am good ground for your word. I'm a doer of the word, not a hearer only. And I'm blessed in my deeds. And I rejoice today, Father, because you've given Holy Spirit to reveal truth to me. So I call on you today, Holy Spirit, to do your work in my life. I'll receive truth, act upon it, be changed by it, and I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, it's my privilege and my high honor to be able to preach the Word of God today. Hallelujah. And how many of you know what, I had to look over there to see which one it is. But it looks like I'm preaching number four today. We're not going in order, as you, I'm sure, noticed. But number four, if you need to turn around and look at the wall to see what it is, then do so. But I want us to all say that together on the count of three. Say, the Bible is not a rule book. It's a revelation of Jesus. That's why I asked the team to do that song just before I ministered this morning, because I want to bring our focus around to Jesus. And that's what, as a church, when we sat down to write these core values, we actually started off with seven. And I thought, man, I can't even remember that, so there's no way anybody else is going to. And although I should have given you credit for being smarter than I am, but anyway, when we said the Bible is not a rule book, here at Word of Life, we don't focus on the rules. There are some rules in God's Word, and we could, if we don't understand the idea that God gave the law or the rules for a period of time, but then Jesus came into the world and he fulfilled those, because none of us could do it. None of us could fulfill all the commandments. There was not anyone, there was no person that walked in the fulfillment of the law. Nobody, until Jesus came into the world. Jesus fulfilled it on our behalf, and then he credited what he had done to us as we identify with him. And you know, many years ago I read a little book called Identification by E.W. Kenyon. In this little book, it talks about our identification with Christ, and that in Christ, we were nailed to the cross, we died with him, we were buried with him, and we rose again with him. Praise God. So in the mind of God, when Jesus hung on the cross, when he looked at Jesus, he saw not only Jesus, but he saw all of you in him. Praise God. And this is what the gospel of grace in a nutshell, that Jesus came, he became, you know, and I preached this once in when I was in the Philippines. I preached that about our identification with Christ, and that he actually became you on the cross. And I was working with a pastor friend of mine. Great man. He's actually gone to be with the Lord now. But he was interpreting for me. But he didn't get the concept of Jesus becoming you on the cross. He didn't get that. And, of course, he is translating into the Filipino language. I didn't know he didn't get it. I didn't know he wasn't understanding what I was trying to say to the people. But there was an American missionary that was there that day, and who was also fluent in the Filipino language. He was married to a Filipina, and he was fluent in the Filipino language. And so later, my wife and I and our friends Terry and Linda Scott that were with us, we had coffee and desserts with this missionary and his wife, and he told me, he said, really good tonight, he said, except Pastor, and called him by name, I won't, but called him by name, and he said he didn't get what you were saying. He didn't understand the concept of Jesus becoming you on the cross. He said the way he translated it was he died for you, but he didn't understand he died as you. And so he mistranslated that, and so it was not, you know, and it was terrible that he missed that, but I think he missed the most impactful thing, and that's what I want you to get today. If you ask most Christians, why did Jesus die? Well, he died for me. And most Christians will tell you, Jesus died on the cross for you. But they miss the point that he literally became you. You were in him on the cross. And he hung there as you. So you, because you were in him, you have already died. Praise God. Now, here's why that's so important. Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. By Jesus hanging on the cross as you, you have paid the penalty. Praise God. The penalty has been paid by you on the cross. Praise God. Because you were in Christ on the cross. So I want you to, now, as you get this, turn to your neighbor and say, he didn't just die for me. He died as me. Praise God. So we've got to get that, and we have to understand that. And so we're going to talk about the difference between and what difference it makes and why it matters that the Bible is not a rule book, but it's a revelation of Jesus. Now, Let me prove that point, first of all, because most of the church today believes that this is a rule book for life. And many of them would tell you that. Your Bible, this is a rule book for life. And all they see is that this is the book of rules. And if you want to know, well, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, and you need to read that in your Bible. And if you don't preach the rules, then they say you're not preaching the Bible. But the Bible, in fact, is a revelation of Jesus. Praise God. That's what it's all about, and I'm going to prove that to you from Scripture. Turn with me to John, the first chapter. You got your Bible? Hold up your Bible if you got your Bible with you today. Praise God. I'm glad to see Bibles going up all over the room. Praise God. Because if you don't have a Bible, you know, we'll help you with that and take care of that. Yeah. Who's got a phone? Who's got a phone? Hold that up. Got a phone. All right. Then there's no excuse for you to not have a Bible. Because if you've got a phone, these days you can have a Bible and it doesn't even cost you a penny. I mean, other than what you're paying for your phone anyway. Praise God. And so there's no reason for you to not have a Bible. So you need to have one Praise God. And by the way, it's okay when I say hold up your Bible. It's all right to hold up your phone, because if you got your phone on your Bible, or your Bible on your phone on your Bible, or however, but I don't think you can get a phone on this. But anyway, you need to have a Bible. You need to check out what I'm saying. You need to turn with me to these scriptures. We put them up here, but I like to see people turn to it. Praise God. And, you know, why is that? Because it makes you more familiar with your Bible. That's the whole point. It's not that this is less of a, what you have on here is less of a Bible. It's the same word, the same Bible. But you, by turning to it in the pages of your Bible, it helps you to become familiar with your Bible. Praise God. Praise God. Now, and you need to have that, not so you have a copy of your rule book, but so you have a copy of the revelation of Jesus. Praise God. John chapter 1, verse number 43, it says this. It says, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, who Jesus had already called. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. We have found him, the one, let me just paraphrase this a bit. We have found the one that Moses and all of the prophets wrote about. Yes. Praise God. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, and Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Now, what I want you to understand here from this passage is that, you know, many times, and this is where, you know, we need to be students of the Word of God, and we need to begin to see what God's Word is all about. That it's not just that book of rules. In fact, most Christians that believe it's just a rule book, you see, they think that Jesus isn't in here until you get to Matthew. But in fact, Jesus is all the way through here. Here he says, this is the one that Moses, now how many of you know that Moses was the writer, not the author? Holy Spirit's the author, okay? Every book of the Bible, Holy Spirit is the author. But Moses was the writer. He wrote as the Spirit gave him unction. And he wrote down the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were all penned by Moses. And Moses wrote some of the Psalms. And so we see that when he says that Moses wrote about Jesus, he's saying that from the five books of the law that we consider the books of the law, he said those are about Jesus, because Moses wrote about him, and Moses wrote those five books. So Jesus is found all the way through the first five, the Torah, as it is referred to. The first five books of the Bible, even though the name Jesus does not show up until Matthew, yet Jesus was in the beginning. In fact, the very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter of the first book, and the very first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, we find Jesus. Because here's what it said. Jesus revealed himself in the book of Revelation. He said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. I am he who was dead but am alive forevermore. Remember that verse in Revelation? Well, he said, the beginning and the end. Well, the first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible reads this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So when he says in the beginning, Jesus said, I am the beginning. So we see Jesus in the very first verse of the Bible. Praise God. And so how can we not understand that the Bible is about Jesus? Praise God. This is a revelation that God gave us of his Son. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brethren, him you shall heed. Now, he's talking about Jesus there. This is in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 18. He says, I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among... Now, when he says like you, he's talking about Moses. He said, I'm going to raise up a prophet like Moses. But he says, from your brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command you, command him. Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse number 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Prophecy of Jesus. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 7, the prophet. Remember, it said, I found the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. So here we find Moses and the prophets. We're going to look at the prophet, Isaiah now. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Of course, we know that that word Emmanuel means God with us. And he is talking about Jesus. Also, Isaiah chapter 53, we'll refer to that a little bit later. But Isaiah chapter 53 is that great redemptive chapter in the Bible that probably more clearly than any other passage in the Old Testament, we find in Isaiah chapter 53, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. He's talking about Jesus. Remember when Philip the evangelist was caught up in, or was told to go down a certain place, and he went down and he found this Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot, and he's sitting there in this chariot reading the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. And this is the passage that he was reading from. And Philip came near to him and he said, so do you understand what it is you're reading? He says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So Philip got in the chariot with him and he explained to him how that the prophet Isaiah in writing this is speaking of Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch wanted to know, he says, is he writing about himself? Or is he writing about someone else? And Philip explained, he's writing about Jesus. Praise God. So now let's move on. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of God of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The prophet Daniel, read in Daniel chapter 9, he talks about Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 23, he talks about Jesus. John chapter 5 talks about Jesus. On and on and on we could go looking at and seeing Jesus in the Scriptures. Whether they be New Testament, Old Testament, they're speaking of Jesus. Now, sometimes when you read the Old Testament, and just because we are grace people and the message of grace is found in the epistles of the Apostle Paul, don't think that the rest of the Bible is not about Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. And if you learn how to read the Old Testament, you can see him all the way through. All the way through. And I'm going to give you several examples of that in my message today. But go with me to John chapter 5, verse number 46. It says, if you believe Moses, you would believe me. If you believe Moses, you would believe me. Wow. Do you believe Moses? Well, how many people believe Moses? Well, they believe thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false. They believe that. They believe Moses. If you believe Moses, you believe me. Praise God. Why? Because Moses wrote about Jesus. Hallelujah. But you've got to learn to see Jesus in all of the Scriptures, not just the New Testament. Praise God. Now, look at this. He said, if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Now, let's flip this thing over. That's what he just did there. If you believe Moses, you believe me. But then he says, how can you believe me if you didn't believe him? You see that? If you believe Moses, you believe me. How can you believe me if you did not believe him? Praise God. How are you going to believe my words if you didn't believe what Moses wrote, because he was writing about me? Praise God. Now, in Numbers chapter 21, we see Jesus as the bronze serpent on the pole that drew judgment to himself in order that the people would not die. In Exodus chapter 17, Jesus is the rock that was struck from which the living water came in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 16, Jesus is the manna that came down from heaven to feed the people. Genesis chapter 30 through chapter 50. Here we see the story of Joseph. I mean, here we're talking 20 chapters in the Bible. The story of Joseph going into Egypt, and Joseph going in there as was sold into slavery by his brothers. Does that sound familiar? Yes. Jesus was sold out by his brothers to whom he came. Egypt and was thrown into prison. Jesus, the Bible says he was in prison. He was imprisoned in the lower parts of the earth after his crucifixion. For 3 days he went into prison and he preached deliverance to the captives there, and he led captivity captive out of that place. So Joseph going into prison is a type of Jesus. Joseph then was raised up out of prison and became the ruler of the wealth of the land of Egypt so that he could sustain life on the earth. Praise God. Jesus came out of the grave, rose again victoriously, and now he is life to us. Praise God. So we see the type of Jesus here in the story of Joseph. So take some time and read Genesis chapters 30 through 50 and see if you can see Jesus in there. Praise God. Exodus chapter 25. Jesus' blood is the true blood that was spoken of by the blood of the Lamb that was sprinkled on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. I think I said that badly. Let me start that whole idea over again. And I started at the wrong end of it is what I did. There was blood that in the tabernacle in the wilderness and in the temple in the Holy of Holies, the blood of the sacrifice was carried in and offered on the mercy seat which was on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. Today, Jesus has carried his own blood into the heavenly Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies in heaven, the true Holy of Holies. His blood was offered there on the mercy seat of God, so that when Jesus' blood was offered there, now get this, the typology is that the blood covered what was inside. So what was inside? The Ten Commandments, the law, the commandments were inside. The commandments is that by which we were judged. So when God, who is seated above the mercy seat in heaven, when God looks down, he doesn't see the commandments inside. He sees the blood on top. Praise God. He sees the blood of Jesus that was shed for every broken commandment. Praise God. He sees the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And when we begin to see the pictures that are in the tabernacle, I'm just doing a few. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of types of Jesus throughout the Old Testament. Praise God. Praise God. Get this. The goat that bore the sins of the people so that the scapegoat could go free. Now, if you don't understand what I'm talking about there, in the Old Testament, they would take two goats and they would lay hands on, the priest would lay hands on the head of one of the goats and would transfer the sins of the people onto that goat. And then that goat would be sacrificed. That goat would be killed and offered as a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. But then the other goat was turned loose. See, the picture is that Jesus is the goat to which the sins were transferred. The Bible says that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live unto righteousness, 1 Peter chapter 2. And so Jesus was the type of the goat that was slain so that the scapegoat could go free. You and I are the scapegoat. We go free today because Jesus was sacrificed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, get this. Jesus is the good shepherd. Psalm 23. So when the psalmist wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." To us, Jesus is my shepherd. I shall not want. Praise God. Jesus, I was going to give you the chapter for the scapegoat. That's Leviticus chapter 16. In Genesis chapter 14, Jesus is Melchizedek, the priest that came without, there was no record of this man's beginning of days, no record of his birth, no record of what happened to him afterwards. So he was a type of a priest, not of the Levitical priesthood, not of the law, but he was a type of the priest of which there was no beginning of days nor end of days. He is eternal in the heavens. Jesus is the high priest that will never, ever, ever relinquish his office. As every earthly priest did, they relinquished their office by reason of death. They died and another priest came. But Jesus because he had already died and rose again. Praise God. He became the Melchizedek without beginning of days or end of days. He is a priest forever. Praise God. And he stands in the presence of God on your behalf and on my behalf. Praise God. Exodus chapter 12. Jesus was the Passover lamb. This is the story of the Passover, how that the blood of the last night of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, in the land of bondage. What did they do? They took a lamb and sacrificed it. And we could go into that and preach a whole sermon on that sacrificed lamb. But just to make it very quick, it was offered as a sacrifice. The blood was put on the doorpost and on the lintel of the door. And that night, when death came to the land of Egypt, it passed over the homes of all of those that had the blood applied. The blood of Jesus is on the doorpost and the lintel of your house, praise God, so that death no longer comes to your house, because it was appointed unto man once to die, but Jesus died as you in your place, praise God, so that you don't have to die. Praise God. He who has received Jesus, the Bible calls it the second death, will have no part in the second death. Praise God. Praise God. Because you died with him, were buried with him, were raised to life with him. Praise God. In the Song of Solomon, you will find Jesus as the beloved there. Praise God. You think it's a love story? Well, it's a love story between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. He is the lover of your soul. Praise God. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 53. He was the one that was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. Praise God. And get this one. This is the last one I'm going to do today. Actually, it's not. One more. In the book of Hosea, Prophet Hosea was instructed to marry a prostitute. And so he married her, and then she went back to the prostitution. And we see the prophet Isaiah pursuing his wife, the prostitute. You see, what a picture. If you don't think that Jesus will still pursue you even though you fail, praise God. He gave us a beautiful picture of Hosea the prophet, a type of Christ, pursuing the prostitute wife. Praise God. I am so glad that Jesus, when I mess up, that Jesus doesn't just say, I'm done with you. Praise God. But he continues to pursue me. Praise God. Praise God. Now, on the road to Emmaus, I want you to get this. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read this one because I want you to see all of this. Luke chapter 24, verse number 13. It says, now behold, two of them, disciples, were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles. Now, this is after the resurrection. This is after Jesus had risen from the dead. And they're traveling to Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they walked. They talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, And now the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women from our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Now get this, verse 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the things which the prophets have spoken. So you're slow to believe the things the prophets spoke. So what did the prophets speak? They spoke about Jesus. Then in verse 26, he says, Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you have liked to have been a part of that Bible study? Praise God, Jesus Bible study. You know, these guys are doing what they need to do back here, but we're going to keep going. So stay with me. What I got is more important than what they've got. All right? So he says, you know, he opened the scriptures and began to expound to them all the things concerning himself. Praise God. Now, I am sure that was one amazing Bible study. Jesus himself talking about himself. But where did he get the information that he gave them? Where did he get the scriptures from the Old Testament? So don't tell me that you can't preach Jesus from the Old Testament. Jesus did it. Yes. Praise God. Jesus preached Jesus from the Old Testament. Amen. Now get this. I was gifted just recently with a version of the Bible called the Mirror Bible. And Araya and Leroy came across this and they loved it. And they said, I have one of these. So they brought me one. And I have loved it. But I want to quote from it. This will be my first time to ever quote from this translation of the Bible. But here's what it says in verse number 27. It says, He then took them on a journey through the scriptures, beginning with Moses and throughout the prophets. He pointed to himself mirrored in their word. Let me read that again. That is powerful. It says, Then he took them on a journey through the scriptures, beginning with Moses and throughout the prophets. He pointed to himself mirrored in their word. Now, let me tell you something. When you want to go into the Old Testament, don't read the Old Testament as a rule book. Read the Old Testament as a revelation of Jesus because it is full of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You say, well, Pastor, but aren't we under grace? Well, who is grace? Jesus is grace. So when I talk about Jesus, I'm talking about grace. Praise God. When I am unveiling the true picture of Jesus, I am unveiling to you the gospel of grace. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if you stop with the fact that Jesus was a baby born in a manger, you're stopping way too prematurely. If you stop at Jesus healing the sick, walking on the water, raising the dead, casting out the devil, you stopped too soon. Praise God. Because there's way more about Jesus. Praise God. If you stop after you find out that he was nailed to a cross, you stopped prematurely. If you stop at the resurrection or at Jesus ascending into heaven, you stopped prematurely. Praise God. Why? Because now we come to the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul in his epistles reveals to us what all of those scriptures, see, all these religious old, these men of old, when they read the Old Testament scriptures, they didn't see Jesus. They didn't see him in there. He was there, but they didn't see him. But now, because we have the Apostle Paul's revelation in the epistles, now we can say, how did I miss that? How did I miss that? And now we can go back and we can begin to, with the understanding gained from Paul's revelation, you say, well, you know, why didn't I get that? Well, here's the thing. Don't feel bad if you read the Old Testament and you didn't see Jesus. Paul didn't either, until he was caught up into the third heaven and heard things that are for him to utter. He received the revelation of the gospel of grace. He was caught up into the third heaven, praise God. And when he spent time with the Lord Jesus himself in the Arabian desert and heard this revelation from him, Paul didn't get it either until that time. But then Paul began to unveil to us. Paul preached Jesus from the Old Testament, but he couldn't preach Jesus from the Old Testament until he received a revelation by the Lord himself. Now we have the advantage that we have Paul's revelation to look at to understand the Old Testament. Praise God. Now, without that, we're going to preach Old Testament just like the religious leaders of Jesus' day did. We're going to preach it as a rule book. But when we begin to see in light of what Paul revealed to us, now we can see Jesus from Genesis 1 all the way through the end, all the way through Revelation, the 22nd chapter, we see Jesus. Here's something that so many people miss. Well, I don't understand the book of Revelation, because they read it looking for revelation about the end times. But in the very first chapter of the book of Revelation, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is not about the end times. Now, it contains stuff about the end times, but that's not what the book of Revelation is about. It is a revelation of Jesus. The whole thing from Genesis through Revelation is all about Jesus. Praise God. Now, here's something that at Word of Life, when you come to Word of Life Church, you will not hear a message about you. You'll hear a message about Jesus. Praise God. We're not going to preach a message about you and everything you've done wrong. Now, I've known preachers in the past that they looked around, watched everybody, see what everybody was doing wrong, and that's what they preached on Sunday. I've known those preachers. But that's not what happens here. We're not watching you to see what you did wrong. Now, if we talk about something you did wrong, then it was probably the Holy Spirit that told us. He maybe didn't even tell us what you did wrong. He just told us what to say. And the word of the Lord struck your heart about what you did wrong. Praise God. But the message is not about what you did. The message is about what God has done right. Hallelujah. What he did in Christ, praise God. And whatever you did wrong, if it was brought up in the message, the reason it was brought up in the message is to tell you that Jesus has a better way for you, praise God, and to tell you that your sins are forgiven. They are wiped out, praise God. You know, something I've been really studying and meditating on for some time now is the idea that Jesus at the cross paid for all of your sins. Now, it's easy for people to understand that Jesus, well, he paid for my sins before I got saved, but he didn't pay for my future sins. Would you realize that when Jesus paid the price, all of your sins were future? All of them? So it's no different for him to pay the price for the ones you're going to commit next week than it was for him to pay the price for the one you committed last week. That's no different to him. Because we got to understand that God is in a timeless realm. So he did it once and for all. It is eternally done. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I'm reading it again in the Mirror Bible the other day. It said actually that's translated from before the fall of the world. Jesus, in the mind of God, was slain before the fall of the world. Praise God. So everything that you have ever done or ever will do or ever even think about doing, Jesus already paid the penalty for it. Praise God. Now, the same thing goes for your healing and for your provision. Jesus already took care of that before the fall of the world. Praise God. Praise God. Now, here's some things. I've got to get to this. I know that I don't have much time left. But I've got to get to this because it's so important. In Romans chapter 3, I'm trying to skip some things, trying to decide how much to skip. Okay, so Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all, on all who believe, for there is no difference." Now notice here, if justification were by the deeds of the law, then we should conclude that the Bible is a rule book. If justification is by keeping the law, then we should conclude that the Bible is a rule book. But here it says, justification is not by the deeds of the law, by the works of the law. Praise God. The Mirror Bible says it this way: the law proves all of mankind equally guilty and confirms that their most sincere, duty-driven decisions and self-help programs within the confines of the flesh could not give them any sense of improved confidence in their standing before God. So there is nothing you could ever do in the flesh that will give you confidence before God. It is only the blood of Jesus that can do that. Praise God. Praise God. Romans 3, verse 21. Mirror Bible again. I'm going to quote a little bit from this because I've just got so much out of this in just a week that I've had it. But here he says in verse 21, he says, "We are now talking a completely different language. The gospel unveils what God did right, not what we did wrong. Both the law and all the prophetic writings pointed to this moment." Praise God. All of the, what did he say? The prophetic writings, all of the law and the prophetic writings pointed to this moment. They pointed to the moment that what Jesus did justified us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 22, Jesus is what God believes about you. Wow, we could unpack that statement right there for the next week. I mean, probably longer. Jesus is what God believes about you. What does God think of me? Jesus. What does God think of you? Jesus. Now, if you're going to align your thinking with what God is thinking, now turn to your neighbor and tell them what you think about them. Did that go right over everybody's head? Okay. If Jesus is what God thinks about you, Jesus is what God thinks about your neighbor, and you align your thinking with what God thinks, then Jesus should be what you think about your neighbor, the person next to you. I was say, you know, in the past, go ahead and tell your neighbor, say, in the past, I've thought some bad things about you, but I've changed my mind. Jesus is what I think about you. Now, Jesus is what God believes about you. In Him, the righteousness of God is on display in such a way that everyone may be equally persuaded about what God believes about them. Are you persuaded about what God believes about you? Praise God. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now, what do religious people think about core value number 4? Foolishness. Bible's not a rule book, but a revelation of Jesus. Oh, that's foolishness. Bible is about the rules. That's what religious people think. But praise God, it's a revelation of Jesus. Yes. Praise God. Now, when you look at the Bible as a rule book, you cannot receive God's abundant grace. Right. As long as you look at the Bible as a rule book, you will never receive the abundance of grace. You've got to understand that the Bible is a revelation of Jesus. And when you see that, when that revelation explodes on the inside of you, you will begin to realize that it wasn't at all what you thought it was. You'll begin to realize that Jesus is the point here, and what God thinks about you is Jesus. Praise God. And you'll begin to receive the abundance of grace. You'll begin to realize that this grace is so magnificent. This could not possibly be a man's idea, because we can't fathom this kind of grace. And, you know, though I could never... I can preach for the rest of my life and several lives to come, and I could never, ever, ever reveal to you through my preaching the fullness of what Jesus is. Praise God. Because He is so much more than what I can see, what I can understand, what I can comprehend. He is more. Praise God. And no matter how you think He is, He's better. Praise God. Praise God. Got to skip some more. You see, here's what happens when we preach the law. When we preach the law, what are we doing? See, the reason I had the team, I asked them if they could do that song, "I Speak Jesus," right before I ministered, because I wanted that to be right on your mind today. We're preaching Jesus. We're speaking Jesus. When you say Jesus, the name of Jesus, you have said everything. Praise God. Because here's the thing. When you speak the law, you're speaking Moses. You're preaching Moses. You know, why do we tell people you need to turn to Jesus, but then we talk Moses to them? Why do we tell people, you know, Jesus is the answer for the world today, and then we turn around and preach Moses? If you're preaching Moses, you're not revealing Jesus. So you're telling them to turn to this person, but then you tell them about someone else. When I speak Moses, see, here's the thing. Now it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, pay very careful attention to this. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, how many of you do that 100% of the time? Diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. How many of you think that maybe you could do that? I don't see a single hand. You know, when you speak Moses, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, nobody can do that. Now, let's go on. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully, now there's a little three-letter word right here, all. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments. Anybody broke one? Anybody broke one this morning? Yeah. Maybe not this morning, but some of you have. Praise God. Somebody I better not say that. No, I'm going to, just because it makes a really good point. Not that I think I actually did this, okay? But just because it makes a good point. Somebody told their wife, "That dress really looks good on you." You just bore false witness. I'm only making a point. I know nobody did that, okay? I know you didn't do that. Just in case you were going to do that, you broke a commandment this morning, and then you came to church. You observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Now, this sounds good. He's going to set you on high above all the nations of the earth until you go back and you look at the condition for being set on high, that you keep all the commandments, all of them, which I command you this day. He says, then all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Oh, that's wonderful. Hallelujah. Let's shout. You know, let's dance and run around the church, because all these blessings are going to come upon me and overtake. Wait a minute. Did you do the condition? Did you keep all the commandments? Not some of them, all of them. All of them. Always. Not just sometimes. Always. All of them. Okay, so if you didn't keep all of them always, then all these blessings are not going to come upon you and overtake you. That's the problem when we preach Moses. That's the trouble with preaching Moses. Nobody
do it. But when I speak Jesus, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from not keeping all those commandments. Did you get that? He will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from all of the times they missed the mark. From all the times they didn't measure up to the standard of the law. He will save his people from their sins. His name will be called Jesus. So when I say Jesus to you, I am saying that he has saved you from all those times that you told a little fib. He has saved you from all those times. And it's not just the little ones, it's the big ones too. Praise God. He has saved you from your sins. Praise God. When I preach Jesus, because the word Jesus, the name Jesus, means Jehovah is salvation. Praise God. I'm saying no, when I speak Jesus to you, I'm saying no matter what you did today, no matter what you did yesterday, praise God, Jesus is salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has saved his people. Here in Matthew, they called his name that because he will save his people. But today, we're standing on the other side of that, and we say he has saved you from your sins. Praise God. He has. It's not he's going to. He has. Praise God. It is finished. Remember he said that? Hallelujah. When I speak Jesus, I speak peace, healing, and the remission of sins. Yes. Praise God. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried, past tense, our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. When I speak Jesus, Psalm 119, verse 130, says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. He is the Word. Remember John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when I speak Jesus to you, I am speaking the Word to you. And when the Word enters your life, enters your situation, it brings light. Yes. The entrance of the Word gives light. Praise God. Praise God. So today, if you're here or if you're watching me online, I want to speak Jesus to you. Hallelujah. Because no matter what you have done, no matter what you've been through in your life, Jesus is the He is the answer, and I'm not going to start preaching Moses to you. Hallelujah. Jesus is the answer, and I'm going to preach Jesus to you because Jesus bore your sins in his own body on the tree. Praise God. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus. Maybe it's because you didn't know. Maybe it's because you didn't know what he did for you. But now you know that he bore your sins. You know that he paid the penalty for your sins. Praise God. And it has already been done, so there's no reason to reject it. There's no reason to not accept it because it is already finished. We're not accepting it. You know, I don't need you to come and do something for me. I'll pay for my own sins. No, he already did it, so go ahead and accept it. Praise God. What do we do when we are accepting Jesus? We're not begging Jesus to come and save us. He already did that part. All we're doing is accepting the salvation that has already been provided for you. We're just saying, Jesus, I didn't do anything to receive this. I didn't do anything to merit this. I didn't do anything in order for my sins to be removed. I didn't do anything. Jesus, I didn't, but I know that you did. I believe you did. So here I am. I accept what you did. In fact, I'm going to make, we're not going to do the typical prayer to receive Jesus this morning. Because the prayer that we pray to receive Jesus is literally, it's just a vocalization of what we believe. And the decision is made if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. So it's not so much about what I say as much as it is what I acknowledge. Praise God. So we're going to acknowledge this morning, and I want everybody to say this with me, to say, Jesus, I acknowledge what you did for me. That's already finished. I'm not trying to get you to do something. I'm just accepting what you're offering. I'm picking up what you laid down. I accept right now that you already paid for my sins. Since it's already paid for, I'd be a fool not to accept it. Well, I'm no fool. So I receive the forgiveness that you offer, the salvation that you so abundantly provided. When you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead, I accept that it was as me that you hung there. And I accept what you did there. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, you are now, see, if you weren't already, but if you believed what you just said, you are now in Christ. You are in Him. That means you are identified with Him. Get this. You, at this very moment, are as righteous. The word righteous means you are in right standing with God. At this very moment, you are as righteous as Jesus is. Think about that. You are as righteous as Jesus is. You're standing with Jesus, with Father God. You're standing with Him. Is just like Jesus standing with Him. Because you have now, your life has been immersed into Christ. The Bible calls it, if you were baptized with Him, you were baptized with Him. That doesn't mean we dunked you in water. There's a place for that. But that's not what we're talking about right here. You were baptized into Him. Just as if you went down into the water, you went into Him. Praise God. You get that? You see that? You were immersed into Him. And where is He? Man, Leroy shared something with me. It just about blew my socks off out in the foyer this morning. He had heard, I believe it was Creflo say, Christians are saying, well, I hope I can make it to heaven. Bible says that you are presently seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that means you already made it, right? You already made it. You're not trying to get to heaven. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God. God, I almost just wanted to preach that this morning after it. But, when we begin to realize it, get into your Bible and begin to see the types of Jesus in there. Praise God. Man, this life, so more than keeping some rules. And you know what? If you begin to understand what I've preached to you this morning, that you are immersed into Christ, that you have become one with Him, you are joined to Him, you are as righteous as He is, you won't even have to think about rules. Because who you are doesn't even want to sin. You are in Christ, and He doesn't want to sin. There is nothing in Him that wants to sin. If you are in Him, there is nothing in you that wants to sin. If you want to sin, you need to go back and find out what it means to be in Him. Praise God. You say, well, how can we overcome sin? Here's the secret. This is how you do it. This is how you do it, by understanding that you are joined to the Lord. Yes. Praise God. And you won't want to sin anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now here's the other thing. Everything that Jesus did for you, healing your body, providing for your material needs, empowering you to live a life above sin, praise God, giving you wisdom when you need, all of those things that Jesus did for you is all wrapped up in Him. And you have been joined to Him. So if you need healing in your body, you're in the healer. Right? You're in the healer. So if you need healing, I just want you to acknowledge some things this morning. I don't need to lay hands on you. I just need to tell you that you are in the healer. And if you'll believe that, your body can be healed right where you're sitting this morning. Just believe that you are in the healer. If you need material provision for your life, you are in the provider. If you need wisdom to know what to do in your life, you are in wisdom. Because you have been joined to Him. Man, I don't know how to stop this morning. Praise God. You are in Christ. You are in the Anointed One. Praise God. And when you lay your hands on the sick, the healer is laying hands on the sick. Praise God. When you command a devil to come out, you're in Christ. So it is the same as if Jesus were commanding the devil to come out. And the devil's always obeyed Him. Right? Well, they may not obey you, but you're in Him. They'll obey Him. You're speaking with His voice. You've got to get this today. Praise God, because this will revolutionize everything that you are. This will revolutionize your walk with the Lord. Praise God. It will cause you to rise up to a place that you have never walked in God before. Hallelujah. Because you are just as righteous as Jesus, because He sees you as the same. Yes. Hallelujah. You're in Him. Yes. In you. And the two of you have become one. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He immersed you into Him. Praise God.
We want to thank you for joining us today for the Word of Life podcast. If you're in the Carlsbad, New Mexico area, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock.
We also invite you to check out our website at wolcarlsbad.com, where you will find resources from Word of Life and a giving link if you would like to contribute. One last thing, if this message blessed your life today, share it with a friend. Have a blessed day, and remember, God is madly in love with you.